Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So I'm getting ready for the show here, and I was surprised to see this pass my timeline late this afternoon. Governor Pritzker issues an executive order, and at the very bottom, he started talking about sports wagering, that he suspended the in-person registration at the sports books. Now, we only had two sports books open for 1 week before the pandemic. So what exactly does this mean for bettors here?
Well, I mean, for the short term, it basically waives, it, just as the order reads, it temporarily suspends the in-person registration requirement and raises the prospect of a very fascinating separation of powers legal battle, because this was a measure that was enacted by a state legislature that he signed into law. Lawmakers pass laws. There are different roles that the executive branch, judicial branch, and legislative branch have. But these were unusual times, and the governor of a state certainly has broad emergency powers. But from the vantage point of looking back in time, you might remember the big battle that occurred in 2019, where Rivers Rush Street and the CEO of Rush Street was advocating for a penalty box provision for DraftKings and FanDuel. One of the big overlays in this legislation was, to try to, give the in-state stakeholders, the land-based stakeholders, a little bit of a head start and delay the arrival of some of the, major online gaming companies. And the difficulty or the problem that Rivers might see from suspending these requirements is that there's nothing temporary about registering your account online. Once you do it, it's permanent. So I think there's a real, there might be a real concern here that an extraordinary number of people will register their accounts online because they could do so now without having to walk up somewhere. But I think that this rule, this in-person registration requirement, it was anachronistic, and it was a parochial measure designed solely to protect a couple of favored stakeholders. It's a terrible piece of public policy. So maybe it's a good thing in the long run, but I think this is going to get challenged. I really suspect it's going to be challenged in court. And one of the tells on that possibility is at the very end of the executive order, there's a paragraph which addresses the validity of the remaining provisions if part of the executive order is successfully challenged in court. Maybe that's a pro forma or a common provision to include in an executive order, but I think it also portends the threat and the likelihood of litigation over this. Because if you open the floodgates or you open a short window for remote registration, everyone's going to take advantage of that, and you won't be able to unscramble the egg. And once someone's registered remotely in this interim period, they're signed up forever. So I think that I think this is going to tee up potentially a legal battle.
Do you think that Rivers would still try to get involved in a legal battle when they clearly would have the big advantage right now? They're the only Illinois book that has opened even close to the city of Chicago. So in some ways, as far as the legal sports books, it's a monopoly for now until they give sports books licenses to these other casinos and tracks that have not opened yet.
Well, you've raised a great point. The irony is that this may create an unfair advantage for Rivers to the detriment of every other stakeholder who either hasn't gotten licensed yet or hasn't opened. I mean, look at all the the sports venues and all the other horse racetracks, there is a wide swath of land-based stakeholders that don't have their sports books open yet and don't have their online partners ready to go. So it would create an unlevel playing field and create basically a monopoly for whoever has the online access right now. So it does raise questions of equity and fairness. I think in the long run, this is a lousy provision to begin with to have any kind of an in-person registration requirement. But to pull the rug out from under this legislation in that limited respect would really favor one stakeholder.
With Daniel Wallach, sports betting attorney, Sports Radio 670, The Score. And Daniel, I'm glad you brought up the whole fight for the penalty box with FanDuel and DraftKings in mind, because if you look on the Illinois Gaming Board website and all the places that have applied for sports betting licenses, and then you go down to the management services provider applicants and licensees, all of a sudden you see Betfair Interactive doing business as FanDuel. And you see Crown Illinois Gaming doing business as DraftKings applying for licenses in February and in April. So word has been that they're looking at getting around the penalty box and maybe buying up a track or getting a part of a casino to get a sports book there. Do you expect to see FanDuel and DraftKings operating in Illinois in the next year?
Absolutely. First of all, you raised the idea that they can, you know, buy up an interest in one of the tracks as a possibility. But I think the regulations also now contemplate co-branding. So remember the original debate, the debate going back to the summer of 2019 was whether this, delayed phase-in of online gambling would successfully keep DraftKings and FanDuel out of the market. Why couldn't they just co-brand with one of the land-based venue? And I think the regulations now, you know, I've got to take a closer look at that, but I saw something to the effect that co-branding would be permitted. So I think one way or another, the DraftKings and FanDuel are going to be players in the Illinois market, regardless of the efforts that Rivers and its CEO took to keep them out, because I think there was enough ambiguity in the language of the statute. I mean, this thing was rushed together, if you recall, in the waning moments of the Illinois legislative session in 2019. This gigantic piece of legislation was written basically or overhauled in a period of a couple of days. So there were gaps big enough to drive a truck through, and I think this might be one of them.
Yeah, it went into the weekend. They went past the deadline, and they went into June to Saturday and to Sunday for this thing to get through both chambers, the House and the Senate. Daniel, we have some questions that from texters at 312-644-6767, just asking about this.
This is a first for me. I've probably been on over 400 or 500 radio interviews in my career the last 5 years. It's the first time I'm getting questions texted in. This is terrific. Let's fire away.
Yeah, sure. People are curious about this. Okay, so if you're only registering online, so if we can say register in a week on the Bet Rivers app, is the only way to make a deposit with the credit card?
I don't know. And I'll be honest, these are basically, you know, customer account and relationship terms of use issues. And I'm not familiar with the terms of use of the relationship between the customer and the sports book. And I'm not even that into the weeds on those aspects if it's addressed in the regulation. So I'll take a pass on that, you know, go put out a lifeline if someone wants to answer that question for me. But I think overall, I want to get back to the DraftKings and FanDuel issue.
Sure.
It is a good thing to have companies like those two in the marketplace to create options and choices for Illinois, you know, sports betting customers. I mean, to keep them artificially on the sidelines, you know, it will lead, you know, in my opinion, to a less than optimal, product. Less innovation, less competition. It's good to have competition. New Jersey is a prime example of that. You have, I think, 15 land-based venues. Each of them get 3 skins. You have close to 60 points of entry in the New Jersey market, and they're knocking the lights out in terms of revenues, performance, satisfaction. So I think this is going to be a good thing in both the short run and the long term, but more importantly, in the short run, if there's a pathway into the marketplace for DraftKings and FanDuel and any of the other out-of-state companies that offer, you know, online gaming.
Daniel, the IGB hasn't had an official meeting since January. The last two were canceled, but they have been working throughout the pandemic. Their next meeting is a week from today, next Thursday. Anything jump out to you that you expect to happen in that meeting? I think everybody in the industry that's been covering Illinois expects a lot of movement, and there have been so many sportsbook applications that have come through in the last few months. Anything jump out to you that you expect to hear?
No, I haven't seen the agenda, but as is customary and the experience of a number of other states, is that they've fallen behind in sort of the pace of, you know, getting to market. Look at Tennessee; they passed a sports betting law, and I think it might have even been before Illinois, and they still haven't launched yet. So there's a lot of heavy lifting to go, and the difficulty with implementing sports betting is that in the absence of finalized regulations and the processing and investigation surrounding the licensing process, the gestation period is elongated, and it's made worse when you're dealing with a pandemic and licensing authorities can't do the background investigations or have in-person meetings. So the whole process is slowed down by virtue of the combination of the pandemic, not being able to have these, meetings. So there's a huge backlog of work to be done on the regulatory level.
But just as someone that covers legalization, as we have all these states, now we're hearing a lot about California and Ohio. Before we know it, we're going to be at half the country that has legalized sports betting. So you understand.
Well, we're almost there now. Yeah. We're almost there now. We're at 21 plus the District of Columbia. Right. They're not all launched, but I mean, when you look at the cessation of in-person betting and sports, the states are going to have to make up this revenue somehow. So
yeah.
I think, the desperate times call for somewhat desperate measures. And California is a prime example of a sports betting bill that really is the sort of the birth child of COVID-19. Because if it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for the last 3 or 4 months and the worsening of California's budget, this could have been an issue that probably would have been raised next year when the legislative session would renew again in January of 2021. So the pandemic, I believe, has created or accelerated, interest in bringing online gambling to the fore sooner rather than later. Because if the games aren't taking place, you could still have online casino, you could have internet poker, virtual sports, instant racing, and to offer sports betting as a land-based feature only is really anachronistic. And that was the measure that had been proposed in California earlier this year by California's Indian tribes. There would have been no mobile betting. So the California legislature has now teed up a proposed legislation, which if it's approved by 2/3 of the Assembly and the State Senate, it goes to a ballot question this November, but the enabling legislation that would accompany it provides for statewide mobile. So that, you can thank the pandemic for that, at least in California, because they've got a lot of ground to make up economically.
Yeah, and I just want to hammer this home for our listeners, Daniel. In closing, this executive order from Pritzker, it's going to be a good thing for Illinois sports bettors, right?
Well, I mean, that remains to be seen. But if you're telling me that in-person registration is, being suspended, obviously it's the best, possible scenario for customers that want to be able to bet, but not, go somewhere, some brick and mortar facility to register. So it can't be a bad thing from the consumer's perspective. I think it becomes an issue of competitive imbalance and fairness and equity as it pertains to the delicate balance of the relationships between different stakeholders.
Excellent.
So from the bettor's perspective, obviously remote registration is the sort of the gold standard when it comes to online gaming.
Daniel Wallach, sports betting attorney at Wallach Legal on Twitter. Make sure you follow him there. Daniel, appreciate you being flexible with your schedule and jumping on at the last moment tonight.
It was my pleasure. I always love jumping on and talking sports betting with you, Joe. So anytime you want to have me back, you can count on it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.